In addition to the many ways coronavirus is impacting our lives, it's also changing how we use technology. We're being creative, we're sharing information and advice, we're being maybe more friendly. If you found yourself commenting on more people's statuses, sharing informative links, texting more, maybe even messaging people you don't always talk to, you might not be alone in your experience. Kevin Roos is a columnist for Business Day and a writer for the New York Times Magazine. His column, The Shift, examines the intersection of technology, business, and culture. He wrote the recent piece, The Coronavirus is Teaching Us How to Live Online. Kevin, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you've been practicing, Kevin, social distancing like the rest of us. What kind of observations or changes as a technology writer have you been seeing on how we behave in the online world?
Well, so much seems different now. I mean, for the last few years, I've been covering the technology industry and the internet and digital culture. And a lot of it's been about ways that people have used technology to pull us apart, whether it's trolls or misinformation or things that, election meddling that happened in 2016. That's been my job for the last several years, is to sort of chronicle the dark side of the internet. But I think right now in the coronavirus crisis, we're seeing some of the silver lining. We're seeing the ways that people are using the internet to close physical distances between themselves and their loved ones, to have the group chats and the video conferences and the FaceTime calls, and just all sorts of different creative ways that people are coming together over the internet. And frankly, it surprised me as someone who has not seen that kind of internet experience a lot over the last few years.
And that's interesting, because that's originally what a lot of the early people on the internet were hoping this thing was going to be, this source of positive connection with other people, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that was the original utopian dream of the people who sort of pioneered internet services, was that this would all allow us to stay in contact with each other, to build connections and community. And we're really seeing that play out in a lot of ways. And obviously, none of us wants to be living this way. We don't want to be stuck in our homes. But given the fact that we are, I think there's a lot of value in some of these services. I mean, just this week, I've been, doing Zoom happy hours with my friends. I got invited to a Passover Seder that's going to be held remotely on video conferencing. People are really finding all these different clever ways to sort of bring people into their lives, even if they can't physically bring them into their homes.
And when you write about this, you say it's not all rosy. The digital divide is out there, differences in access to these kind of services, and that may be more important right now than in normal times. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Well, I think the digital divide, which is sort of the way that we talk about certain people having access to high-speed internet and devices that can run, the latest software and things like that, and other people not having that, that's really become sort of an emergent issue. Because if you don't have internet access right now, if you don't have devices that can run this software, you're really shut off from much of the world. I mean, not just adults, but students. I mean, with distance learning and so many schools shutting down, if you don't have the right equipment to get online and hold video conferences, you can't go to school. So it's made it a really urgent issue that I think lawmakers and community groups should be really addressing right now.
We're talking to Kevin Roos from Business Day and the New York Times Magazine. We're talking about how our use of the online world has changed in the coronavirus era, if you can call a thing that's only been around for a couple weeks an era, I guess. But he says there have been a lot of things changing for the better in many ways. Kevin, you do have a word of caution, though. Even without trolls or people trying to harm us online, we can harm ourselves by focusing too much on the bad news, going down the rabbit hole. How do we avoid building up our sense of dread as we poke around online?
Yeah, I call this, I use the word doom surfing to describe, I think, what a lot of us are doing every day, which is you pick up your phone or you go to your computer, you look at social media, and you just see all of the bad news flooding in about the effects that coronavirus has. And to be clear, it's good to stay informed. It's good to know what's going on in your community and what you're supposed to be doing at any given moment. But I do think that in some cases, we need to disconnect a little bit to take care of ourselves, and also to use the internet to connect with people rather than just consuming content. Research shows that people who use the internet and social media to make these sort of one-to-one or small group connections, they're much happier than people who just spend all day scrolling through their feeds, consuming content passively.
That's interesting. So if I am just on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever, and I scroll, read, that's one thing, and maybe it's not so good. If I'm actively even just thumbs upping my friends or posting my own content or something like that, I'm going to feel more connected. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think anecdotal experience backs this up, right? I mean, I spend all day looking at my feeds. It's pretty nerve-wracking. But then I go on these happy hours where my friends from all over the world are getting together in groups of four or six or eight to have these sort of virtual hangouts. And I really feel restored and happy about that. I feel connected to people that I might not see all the time. So I really think there's a right way and a wrong way to use the internet right now. And I hope people are discovering, and I think they are, the right ways to use it.
Yeah, a big focus of the piece that kicked off this conversation is, you gave a couple examples from your own life, the ways that people are getting really creative in how we use the available services to connect. What kind of innovations are we coming up with on the fly right now?
Oh my goodness, there's so much. I mean, there's, you know, every offline gathering has moved online, right? So there are church services happening on the internet. There are, you know, dinner parties, there are work conferences, there are, you know, community groups that are holding virtual meetings. But there's also these new kind of emergent behaviors. So things like, you know, a friend of mine held a Zoom karaoke night where they, you know, used the video conferencing app Zoom to sing with their friends in far-flung places. There have been book clubs that are meeting remotely. There are art classes and cooking classes and exercise classes all happening on the internet. And those things, to some extent, happened before the coronavirus, but now they're really becoming a way that people spend their time on the internet.
One thing interesting I'm seeing, Kevin, is I'm seeing authors popping up and saying, hey, I got nothing to do. If you have a book club and you're talking about my book, let me know. I might drop by and show up and chat with you. How are the creators out there responding to this?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of that. I mean, we've seen concerts happening, you know, the Indigo Girls and, you know, Coldplay, Chris Martin put on a concert. And we've seen various, you know, artists and illustrators holding sort of teaching art classes over the internet. So I think creators, obviously, it's a hard time. You can't tour, you can't hold a concert, you can't hold a book reading, but you can use the internet to reach people. And I think, you know, artists and creators are finding ways to do that.
So we continue our talk with Kevin Roos, a columnist for Business Day and a writer for the New York Times Magazine. He's been writing lately about how we are using the online world to connect with each other, often in creative ways during this coronavirus pandemic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How have you been able to connect using technology to your friends, your family members, maybe even strangers? Do you think people are doing a good job of spreading positivity and sharing helpful information online? Have you teleconferenced with friends or family members? Are you getting into some kind of online games, whether it's chess or World of Warcraft or whatever it might be, board games? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Kevin, if we are in fact seeing an uptick in positivity and creative ways to connect to each other online, are we going to be able to maintain it after the crisis is over? How can we make sure we take some positive lessons out of this?
Well, I think just teaching ourselves sort of how to use the internet in a productive and healthy way is something that we all need to do. There's been a lot of talk over the past few years about screen addiction and people spending too much time on their devices. Obviously, that's sort of a moot point right now. We can't, you know, I think most people are spending probably more time online in the past couple of weeks than they have. We're certainly seeing that in the statistics that are coming out of companies like Facebook and Twitter. Usage is way, way up. But I think we also need to teach ourselves that there are things that are healthier for us to do on the internet and things that are less healthy. And I think that's a lesson that will stick with people even after this crisis.
Now, how about the positivity that you, at least anecdotally, are seeing online? And we can't predict the future, but do you think there's a chance that's going to last, or is the bad stuff just going to come back the way it once was?
I hope it will last. I mean, that's sort of all we can do right now. We don't know how long this is going to be or what the world's going to look like on the other side of it. But I really, really hope that the conversations people are having, the video conferences, the keeping in touch with people regularly, I really hope that that outlasts this virus, because I think it's bringing joy into people's lives at what could be a very dark time.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Larry is with us in Stevens Point. Larry, hello.
Well, hi. How are you doing today? I hate it when people always ask that rather than get to their point. my point was, this is all well and good, but those of us that live in rural Wisconsin have limited internet available to us. We personally have nothing other than satellite. We've got a limited capability, and since this viral thing has picked up, our service has slowed down considerably. So I think it's mandatory, if this is important, that down the road we make sure everybody has good high-speed broadband service.
Larry, thanks a lot for that call. Appreciate you bringing that up. Kevin, we touched on the digital divide earlier here in Wisconsin. This is a big deal, especially as our caller said, in rural areas. Larry's saying maybe this is a sign that we need to make this a priority in the future.
Absolutely. I totally agree with Larry on that point. And I think we need some sort of large scale, maybe federal program to ensure that every community across the country has access to reliable high-speed internet. I also think we need to teach people how to use these tools. Not everyone is an expert in technology. Not everyone knows how to set up a video call or organize a digital hangout. So in my piece, I called for some sort of a nationwide geek squad of, you know, people who can sort of go around to various communities and safely and responsibly sort of teach people, especially older people who might not have as much familiarity with these tools, how to use them to connect with their friends and family members.
Larry, thanks so much for that call at 800-642-1234. Joshua joins us next in Madison. Joshua, hello.
Hi there. How's it going?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Joshua?
I'm an art teacher here in Madison, and we'll be taking our lessons online soon. So I've been just mining the internet from teachers all over the world, really sharing their lessons in kind of different creative ways that we can connect with our students. So that's been just an amazing kind of discovery process, really. And then next week, our district will start in on the professional development on the kind of the specifics of what that will look like for us here in Madison. But then in the meantime, I've started a little Facebook group called Neighborhood Art Discovery, and just kind of encouraging people to get out there and fill their sidewalks full of, artwork and positivity for, the people that are out there on their walks to kind of see something uplifting and creative to kind of brighten their day a little bit.
Fantastic, Joshua. Thanks a lot for that call. Kevin, one example of the creativity we were talking about.
Absolutely. Teachers, I have to say, are really stepping up. I mean, I have seen so many examples of, teachers finding amazing and creative ways to inspire and inform kids who are learning from home. I think they have really shown that they are, capable of doing this, and it's been really inspiring to see.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Kevin Roos, columnist for Business Day and the New York Times Magazine. We're looking at the ways people are using the internet to connect during the coronavirus pandemic. He says there's been an outburst of creative ways where people are reaching out to each other, entertaining each other. And there are some downsides, of course, but you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you made efforts to connect with friends and family through social media or what have you? Are you a creator? Have you done something special online? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. Willem is with us in Colfax. Willem, hi.
Hi. I'm sort of maybe a sort of a curmudgeon, but I still think that the real world is better than the virtual world, because the virtual world is just a two-dimensional world, and the real world, involves all of our senses. Like, we've all seen a picture of like A Starry Night by Van Gogh, but seeing the painting in person is quite a different experience. The same as you can look at a picture of an eagle, but it's not the same as seeing an eagle, or the same with a human being. You know, it's we're not using our sense of touch or smell or all the other senses. So I think it's a limiting factor. I would say that it's different, but I don't know if it's better.
Willem, thanks a lot for the call. And I don't think you'd have any argument with that, Kevin. You're not saying that the virtual world could or should replace real life experience.
Absolutely not. No, I think the physical offline world is amazing, and we should be spending, you know, when this virus is over, we should all get outside and go reconnect with each other in person. Right now, we're not doing that. So the best we can do is the virtual world, but I totally agree.
Willem, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We got an email from Matt who says, my brother has been quarantined in Georgia after a week-long quarantine on the Princess Cruise in California. He gets home Wednesday, and it was nice to FaceTime with him. So under literal quarantine there, Kevin, that can be really a lifeline to have some virtual face-to-face chats with friends and family.
Absolutely, and I think we're seeing a lot of that, people who are, you know, in quarantine, or people who are undergoing, you know, various forms of sort of hardship, medical hardship or economic hardship, connecting to family members and friends can really feel like a lifeline. So I think that's all great. I've been, you know, connecting pretty regularly with my, you know, with my family, with my close friends. We've been trying to get into a habit of making these video calls to each other every day or almost every day.
Now, thanks a lot for that call, Willem. Kevin, we've talked over the years about developing an etiquette for various kinds of online behavior. It seems like we're getting a crash course for that, especially in the world of work, where we're all doing online meetings. And one of the biggest, I think, trending statements is, can somebody please mute at the online meeting? Do you see an etiquette evolving as we're rushing to collaborate online?
Yeah, I think we're all getting an education in remote work right now. I mean, I've been working remotely for years on and off, and, you know, just little things like, when do you mute your line so that your background noise doesn't filter in, or what's the right lighting for a video call, or how do you, you know, avoid some of the pitfalls of, you know, your internet dropping out or things like that. So I think we're all getting an internet crash course in sort of how to connect with each other virtually. I think that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask, since you are somebody who's done a lot of online work, do you have advice for the people who are now pioneering their work site at home now for the first time?
Well, I think one of the hazards of remote work and working from home that people don't always appreciate is just that it becomes much harder to separate your work from your life. You know, when you have an office, you have stuff that's there, and then you pack up and go home at the end of the day. It's much harder to do that when you're working from home. So I try to advise people to have a separate space where you only do work, whether it's a home office or a spare bedroom or just a corner of a room, and let that be your workspace, and don't let it bleed over into the rest of your life, because I think a lot of people actually end up working way more when they work from home.
And another thing then is, if you're working from home and staring at your computer, and then you're socializing at home in your off time, still staring at that same computer, do you find yourself needing to schedule time where it's screens off for a while, given that that's your work and your personal life all in one?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we're learning is that, you know, looking at a screen all day, whether it's for work or for your personal life, is not good for you. So I've been trying to break it up. My wife and I have been cooking, you know, various dinners. We have, you know, been reading books and taking walks outside, you know, by ourselves, not around people. So various ways to sort of turn off the screen and get away from it for, you know, a chunk or two a day.
That's fantastic. So any recommendations now, not just for people, but for us as, at least for now, an internet culture, on trying to keep things going in the positive direction in our last minute or so?
I think that the big takeaway is that you should create and connect more than you consume. So creating things on the internet is great, holding classes and lessons and building things, connecting with your friends and family members, that's all really good and positive and healthy. Consumption, this sort of doom surfing, just mindlessly imbibing internet into your brain every day, that's what really makes people stressed out, unhappy. And I think that's really what we need to watch out for.
Kevin, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
That's Kevin Roos, a columnist for Business Day and a writer for the New York Times Magazine. His column, The Shift, examines the intersection of technology, business, and culture. He wrote a piece headlined, The Coronavirus is Teaching Us How to Live Online. Had a couple callers right at the last minute we didn't have time for. One named Joe says he's a musician. He's been streaming concerts on Facebook. That's cool. That's a fun trend. Another caller said she doesn't have a computer. She goes old school and writes letters and makes phone calls. Also great ways to connect. You can keep sharing yours. You can email ideas@WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.